Friends, listen to these words from the psalmist who says, "You showed favour to your land, O Lord. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins." Let us pray. God, our Father, we know the great challenge whenever we come to your word. Not only are we looking into these sacred pages, but your truth is looking into us. Your spirit is penetrating to the core of our being, asking questions of where we stand with the Lord Jesus Christ, how precious is his truth, and how faithful will we be to his will. And so as we come to the beginning of this season in the Christian year, we ask that by your grace, the questions will be asked of ourselves, but that we will be clear in our own minds, that no matter what needs to be changed, no matter how deeply we feel our shame, our unworthiness, and our lack of commitment, that all of this can be changed, that we can be renewed in the power of your Spirit, and that we can go forward as a people who are more closely shaped according to the pattern of Jesus' life. And this is possible because of what he has done for us, our mighty Redeemer, the one who entered the darkness in order to change our status before a holy God, to remove us from slavery to sin into the light and peace of God's presence as those who belong to the family of God. So help us, Lord, to hold this in our minds at all times, that no matter how deep the darkness, our sense of disappointment and our failure to live according to your will, that the light is there, that it's possible to be at peace with our God and possible to be faithful witnesses in our community and in our nation. Comfort us with all of this, we pray, in the name of Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
We turn now, friends, to our responsive psalm. And could you look, please, at Psalm 51, which is at the centre of the booklet. And we'll say this together in the usual way. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness. In your great compassion, blot out my offences.
Wash me through and through from my wickedness, and cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me.
Against you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight.
And so you are justified when you speak and upright in your judgment.
Indeed, I have been wicked from my birth, a sinner from my mother's womb.
For behold, you look for truth deep within me, and will make me understand wisdom secretly.
Purge me from my sin, and I shall be pure. Wash me, and I shall be clean indeed.
Make me hear of joy and gladness, that the body you have broken may rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Give me the joy of your saving help again, and sustain me with your bountiful Spirit.
I shall teach your ways to the wicked, and sinners shall return to you.
Deliver me from death, O God, and my tongue shall sing of your righteousness, O God of my salvation.
Open my lips, O Lord, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise.
Had you desired it, I would have offered sacrifice, but you take no delight in burnt offerings.
The sacrifice of God is a troubled spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise.
Be favourable and gracious to Zion, and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem.
Then you will be pleased with your appointed sacrifices, with burnt offerings and oblations. Then you shall offer young bullocks upon your altar.
Take away, O Lord, the sin that corrupts us.
Restore by grace your own image within us.
Give us the sorrow that heals and the joy that praises,
that we may take our place among your people. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And we read together in the book of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 1, reading to the end of verse 11. The word of God for us today. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Thanks be to God for his word to us, and may he give us grace to lay hold in his truth. Let us pray. God our Father, we thank you for the experience of being part of a people going forward in faith, looking to you for our guidance and our strength. So speak to us today from your word. Help us to gather all that is needful for our lives at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, if you attend one of the local gyms, there's one in particular where you come out after straining every muscle, bone and nerve in your body, and there's a sign just at the door as you go out which says, you are here, that's the hard bit over. And it's certainly a wee bit of a comfort when you see that, knowing that you can go home and sit down and eat a box of chocolates and, and drink all the things that you're not supposed to. But that essentially is the message that the prophet Isaiah is seeking to convey to the people of Israel at a particular point in their history. The hard bit is over. The interesting thing though is that this message was preached about 150 years or so before the hard bit. Isaiah is looking forward to a time when the people of Israel will be captives in the land of Babylon. Babylon, one of the great, mighty and indeed vicious superpowers of the day. Israel will be taken into exile. It will be a long exile, a painful exile. But Isaiah is seeking to give these people words which will comfort them during that time and enable them to know more about their God. I think we can envisage these words being recorded and being preserved, and perhaps designated people within the community of Israel while they were still in Babylon, taking these words and preaching them and enabling people to gather the strength they need to see out the days of exile and to look forward to the day when they would be returned home, when the hard bit was over. Isaiah wouldn't be there with them, but his words would be there. And he has promised them in this particular prophecy, which he shares with them, he has promised that the glory of the Lord, the day will come when the glory of the Lord will be seen. The very beginning of the chapter, he exhorts future preachers of the word to speak tenderly to Jerusalem, to assure them that their hard service has been completed, that the judgment of God for the sin of the nation has been paid for, and a voice is crying to the people that they should prepare the way for the Lord doing something wonderful in their midst. The glory of the Lord will be revealed. Isaiah pointing forward to this time when people will know the glory of the Lord in their lives. Babylon will have fallen. The minds of powerful people will be changed in relation to Israel, and people's hearts will glow more warmly towards the nation of Israel. God has been at work amongst his people and amongst the nations, and his glory has been revealed. Whenever you see this word glory in the Old Testament, it refers to a specific thing happening, a bright light, a fire, something which indicates the presence of God in a way that is not normally experienced. But essentially the idea of the glory of God is evidence of his being in the midst of his people and working for them. And Isaiah is not necessarily saying that there will be a bright light or some kind of miraculous manifestation. But people will know that God is in their midst, that the glory of God is with them because he is acting for his people. They'll be able to look at one another as they're travelling back to Israel, to look at one another and see no more a slave and see no more an exile, but someone who has been delivered from judgment by the hand of God. And that's a wonderful thought for us to take to ourselves this morning, friends, because, you know, there are times when perhaps we can get a wee bit fed up with one another and feel that church life is a bit flat and we're disappointed in certain things that are done within the church. But, like the people of old in ancient Israel, returning from exile, we can look at one another and we can see individual people who, in the words of the great hymn, have been ransomed, healed, restored and forgiven. A people in whom the evidence of God's working can be seen. The greatest miracle of all, the Holy Spirit coming into the lives of men and women. And that's why I always think, and you've heard me speaking about this before, how wonderful it was at the time of the Reformation, when the reformers saw church buildings as being a place where the pulpit and the Lord's table would be at the very centre and the people would be facing one another as they sang the psalms, the hymns and the spiritual songs, ministering the word to one another, but facing one another, seeing evidence that God has been working and bringing people together to be his on the earth. The glory of the Lord would be revealed in what God has done. And the glory of the Lord is revealed now, friends, in what God has done in our lives and what he's promised to do in the lives of others. Isaiah points forward to this. He also points forward to a day when people will realize that the promises of God are true and that they have been fulfilled. The glory of the Lord will be seen. And the promises of God will be fulfilled. Isaiah says, all men are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows in them. Surely, people are like grass. They wither and they fall, but the word of our God stands forever. In the midst of the exile and all the problems that presented to people, they could go to this word and say, yes, we know how uncertain the world is. We don't know what our kings are going to be like in Israel or in Babylon. We don't know what our spiritual leaders will be like. Too often they've let us down in the past. We don't know how the nations round about us are going to relate to us as this poor, wee scrap of a country. But the one thing that we can be sure of is the word of God and the promises that the word contains. God will always fulfill his promises to his people. I was at a special lunch on Thursday at the Preschool Trust. I don't think she would mind me telling you, but it was May Nicholson's 65th birthday lunch. And it was a great occasion. And she wanted to say a few words after the lunch. And it was quite miraculous, because by her standards it was a few words. But she told us, and I've heard her speak about this before, that not long after her conversion, a word of scripture came into her mind, and she wasn't really very sure at that particular point if it was from scripture. But just as she was coming to terms with the struggle against her alcoholism and so many other things in her life, the word came to her, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. And it was confirmed to her by someone that these words came from the Bible. And that, in a sense, has become her personal testimony. The Lord has fulfilled his word in my life. He has restored the years that the locusts, that the alcoholism, that the aggressive behaviour, that the inability to have meaningful relationships, that all of that has eaten up. God has restored that and enabled this powerful ministry to take place, not 15 minutes away from us, if the traffic lights are in your favour. God has fulfilled his personal promise. Now you might think, well, I can't think of a personal verse that is as powerful as that in my own life. But there are promises here, friends, and this is what I'm saying to you constantly. When there's a promise in the word, underline it, memorise it, because it's from the promises and believing in the promises that our faith is strengthened. I will be with you always. Those who confess their sins will be forgiven. Those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ receive his Spirit. These are promises. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will never die but will have eternal life. Promises for everyone. So Isaiah, looking forward to the day when the glory will be seen, when the promises will be fulfilled, and when the love of God will be experienced. I love that bit in Isaiah 40 where Isaiah is more or less addressing folk like him, all the preacher boys and girls in the future who will be in Babylon. You know, you who bring good tidings to Zion, go up a high mountain and shout the message that the sovereign Lord is coming with power, and he will be revealed in the midst of his people. And all throughout this section in Isaiah, you will find these incredible descriptions of God's power. But the title of this series that we're going through is The Servant King. That we are seeking to learn more about our God, who is the King, but he is also a servant, and he shows the tenderness of his care towards all those he loves. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. You know, the pattern of the ancient Near Eastern shepherd, not driving his flock before him, but leading his flock with particular attention to those who are vulnerable He is leading them home as one who knows each of his sheep by name and cares for them. Tremendous image of God which our Lord Jesus Christ will take and expand later on in his ministry. But the love of God shown for individual people. I always remember a girl in my first parish in Ardeer who was going through difficult days, and her whole problem was that she just didn't feel that God was there. And when she read the Bible, everything was so flat, and there was really nothing for her in the services when she came on the Lord's Day. And we're trying to work through this, and you're trying to say the right things, and everything you say just makes matters worse. And I remember at one point she said to me, "If you tell me once more that God loves me, I think I'll kill you." But we persevered, and she came through. That's North Ayrshire. And we came through to that time when again she was able to experience something of the love of God. And that is what is set before the people of Israel at this time. You know, that it's been a hard time. There's been a difficult sentence to see out. Things have been dreadful, been taken away from the land that God has given you, but he loves you. And we look to all his workings as people who have faith in his loving purpose. So there you are, friends. Isaiah says that, you know, there's going to be a hard bit for the folk to endure, but it will come to an end. And the people will return. You might say to me, well, there's folk in the world and the hard bits never come to an end. But I think that it's possible, even for these people, to be looking to a God who has promised his glory to his people, promised to fulfill his word, and promised his love, even when it's not felt. Even when none of this is experienced, this is the reality. This is your God. And from that, I believe it's possible to gather the strength we need for every hard bit in our lives. And always looking forward to that day when the hard bit will be really over. When we've left behind all the struggle that we have now, a people in exile, because of sin, because of suffering, because of the hard questions. And we'll live in the presence of our risen Lord and take delight in one another as we've never been able to do before. Let's pray. God our Father, we thank you for every blessing that comes from your word. And we pray that you would enable us to see ourselves as a people delivered from the worst and able to go forward into the future, knowing that the glory of God can be revealed in our lives and in the life of your church, that your word can always be depended upon, and that we can experience your love even in the midst of the most difficult days. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.